A month ago today, there was a national holiday, and it's been growing in popularity over the last 10 or 20 years or so. That was May 4th. If you're a Star Wars fan, you know that it's National Star Wars Day, you know, May the 4th. So this has been growing in popularity, and I'll admit, I'm not a huge Star Wars fan. I've seen most of the movies. Father Johnson will attest to me falling asleep during most movies that I watch. So I know the basic plot, but a lot of the details are kind of lost, at least in my mind. It's so hard to keep track of all these different characters and plot points. But I do know one thing that's central to the whole Star Wars universe and franchise is this mysterious thing that they call the Force, right? The Force. It's this mysterious thing. Some people are stronger in it than others. They have a greater propensity or a capacity for the Force. I did look this up. And so all of you Star Wars nerds out there, you can back me up on this. There's a thing that they can test in a person to see how strong the Force will be with them. They're called midichlorians. So if a person is really high in midichlorian count, it means that they probably have a greater capacity for the power and strength of the Force. Anakin Skywalker, he was off the charts. He was like the highest person they ever tested for midichlorians. And then, of course, he becomes this powerful figure, Darth Vader, later in the series. Sorry, spoilers. But there's this thing that they reverence and honor called the Force. And there's this greeting that they give to one another regularly. May the Force be with you. They say it when they greet one another. They say it maybe when they're celebrating. Maybe they say it when they're in times of stress or trouble. May the Force be with you. And George Lucas and those who created this whole franchise, they actually admit they borrowed this from Christian tradition. It sounds a whole lot like may the Lord be with you, right? The phrase that I say to you at least four times a Mass. It's already come twice. We'll get it two more times by the end of Mass. May the Lord be with you. And I think this phrase has a lot of power in it. We just respond maybe automatically and with your spirit, or if you're still trying to catch up from the change 10 13 years ago, and also with you, we just kind of get into a rut maybe. It's a call and response that we don't often recognize the power and the significance of. May the Lord be with you. It's something we say back and forth over and over in Mass and in prayer and in celebrations. If we go all the way back to my Easter homily, I know that's stretching pretty far back, that's like 57 days ago. I actually talked about an ancient Holy Saturday homily about Jesus descending into hell, and he's going in search, looking for our first parents, Adam and Eve and Abraham and all of the just who were waiting in this one portion of hell, Sheol, the underworld, and they're in this place of darkness, and they can't see God because of his removal from them. And so, if you remember in my Easter Sunday homily, I mentioned Jesus finally finds them. And upon finding Adam, what's the thing that he says to Adam in his darkness and in his isolation? The Lord be with you. That's what that homily says. The Lord be with you. It's what Jesus says to Adam, and Adam responds, and with your spirit. He'd been removed from the Lord for all this time, and now the Lord had stooped down and sought him out and found him. And he says to him, "The Lord be with you." There's a lot of power in this simple phrase. And I think it's something that we ought to examine maybe a little more deeply, that the Lord's power and the Lord's presence is something we need, not just occasionally, but regularly. That we would say phrases like this to one another even, when we visit with someone. The Lord be with you. Jesus, the Father, the Holy Spirit, they're with you, and I command them right now to be with you. Or even when we say it to ourselves, Lord, I need you to be with me. I need you to comfort me. I need you to find me, seek me out in my darkness, in my loneliness, in my brokenness. And this is central, I think, to our solemnity today of the Holy Trinity. These three persons in one God who are available to us and who are present to us. In our readings, we see the presence of God replete. First, in the book of Exodus, you have Moses, and he's in this encounter with the Father, this encounter with God on Mount Sinai, and he knows that he needs the Lord's presence. The Lord appears to him. He comes into his midst, and Moses begs the Lord, "Lord, do come along in our company. I'm going through the desert," he says, "with this stiff-necked people. May it never be said of the parishioners of St. Jude of the Lake." But the Lord is needed in their midst. And so Moses begs him, "Lord, join us. Give us company as we travel throughout the desert." Paul, when he's writing to the Corinthians, he says this iconic phrase that I began Mass with, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you." It's how Paul greets the Corinthians in the Lord. I want the Lord to be with you, just as he's with me and just as he's in us in these three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And in the gospel, this ancient hymn, this ancient examination of why God came to us. Why? Because he so loved the world. Because he so loved us, he didn't want to be separated from us. And so the Father sends the Son that we might not perish, but that we might be saved. He didn't send the Son to condemn the world, but to save the world. The presence and the need for God in our lives is so, so important. We don't grow out of it. We don't grow numb to it. And so we continue to beg and ask, "The Lord be with me, and the Lord be with you, and the presence of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, keep us in unity as one people." This is why in the Gospels, the name of Jesus, a title given to him right at his beginning, is Emmanuel, God with us. He doesn't want to abandon us. He wants to be close. A couple times in the last few weeks, I've had kids ask me the same question about something I say in the Mass. Not "the Lord be with you," but another phrase. It comes right before the Our Father, the Lord's Prayer. I say, "At the Savior's command and formed by divine teaching, we dare to say." And I've had two kids ask me just in the last week or two, "Father, why do you say we dare to say? Why are we daring to say the Our Father? It seems like something that's just innate in us. We learned it at a young age. I know it by heart. We say the Our Father probably a couple times a day at least. Why are we daring to say the Our Father?" And I think it's something that we ought to recapture. It's not a given that we are God's sons and daughters. It's not a given that we have access to the Father or to his Son or to the Holy Spirit. This isn't just something that we have a right to. It's something that's been given to us. And so we dare to call God Father because it's something that's special and something that has been bestowed upon us. Why do we dare to call God Father? Because it's not something I could have just done naturally. It's something that had to be given to me supernaturally, that God would adopt me into his family, that he would give me permission to call him Father, that Jesus would promise to me and to the church, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the age. I won't abandon you. I will be with you, Emmanuel. And that he promised, too, that he would send the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, to be with us, to enfold us in his love. And so, brothers and sisters, as you hear throughout this Mass again and again, the Lord be with you, let that instruct you and teach you. And may we never grow comfortable of that phrase. May we never grow numb to calling God Father. May we never grow complacent, thinking the Lord's presence, that's just something pie in the sky. That's just a given. When we say the Lord be with you and the Lord be with us, let's mean it. Let's go to the depths of that Holy Trinity, that mystery of the church that surpasses all others. It surpasses even the mysterious nature of the force or any other thing that we could imagine or think about. The Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, present to us, available to us, and given to us out of love.